Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from Berlin International Film Festival, the 64th edition. And today I'm with Ira Sachs, director of Love is Strange, in the Panorama section. So, as my colleague just said, could we think about if Keep the Lights On was a film about reality? Could we think about this film, Love is Strange, as a fantasy?
No. Not exactly. Because I think this is a very real film. You know, I think it's a projection of certain things that I hope are possible in a long-term love and a long-term marriage, which is for a marriage, a relationship to grow and to blossom with time. And that's always an unknown at a certain, you know, whether what the future looks like. But I think it's a hopeful film. I think Keep the Lights On is also a hopeful film. I mean, I think, in a way, my films have all been about the possibility of love. In the past, they've been about the possibility of love to destroy people. But actually, in that destruction comes a lot of self-knowledge. And I think all of my films, including this one, are coming-of-age films. How do we discover ourselves? And what do we learn in the process of struggle? And I think you could say that this is Joey's film, to some extent. And there is a discovery that occurs. There's also discovery for all the characters. I think Ben and George, in a way, can value themselves even more as a couple, with the potential of losing their home. It reveals their need, their love, their intimacy with each other.
Were John Lithgow and Alfred Molina your first choice for the roles of Ben and George?
You know, casting is always a process, so it's never exactly what you set out to, and then it ends up, if you're doing your job right, to be the only people possible for the roles. But it's always a process. But I think I had an instinct that the two of them could be alive together, which is what you want on screen. And also they have differences that I think complement each other, both as individuals and as performers. I think they are very much, I mean, one of them is super American and one of them is super not, you know. And I think Fred's kind of, I think in the characters of Ben and George, there's also just slight class differences between them in terms of how they move through the world, and I think that they complement each other in that way. I think what was most sort of pleasurable about the shooting experience was how much they enjoyed each other, which is certainly not something that I could have predicted, but they were constantly with each other in the corner talking and laughing, and it was genuine, and I think that comes through the film. There's something about that sweetness that they had for each other as people that ultimately is part of the performance.
How much freedom did you give your actors in interpreting their roles?
You know, I always think that I would say the script is, in this case, about 90% written, and you know, but I always think that the emotional life of the characters is always improvisational, 100%. And so you never, you know, I don't rehearse my actors before we start shooting. So I work with them each individually, and we talk about the script, but they've never heard the lines. They've never read the lines to me. They've never, you know, there was never table read. We blocked the day of the shooting. So what I'm interested is in capturing that first unconscious response that a person has in the presence of another person. I mean, what I'm seeing, you know, in your faces, you can't recreate the first interaction. And I think that's something that I've learned from, you know, directors as diverse as Sidney Pollack and Maurice Pialat, like these different kinds of people who've had approaches which have to do with capturing the immediacy of what can happen on set.
Thinking about the title, I thought that Yes, love is strange, but sometimes, and as I said, I told John Lithgow, the best thing for me about the movie was that you finally get to see, like, even a normal, ordinary couple, a gay couple, and that's something that the bigger audience will be, like...
I think a lot of discrimination comes from lack of knowledge and lack of familiarity, and I think one of the things that is the benefit of the fact that more and more people are out and as gay people is that kids are growing up knowing gay people as their friends and their family and themselves and their cousins, and I think that familiarity is what changes society. So I think that this is a generation, at least in the U.S., the kind of older generation is a last gasp of people who are trying to hold on to some idea of normative behavior that is no longer, can't even be pretended to be true. And I think a film like this makes Ben and George are people you know, and they are, so if you haven't had that familiarity, this film gives it to you. They're part of your family.
So, do you think that it would have been more difficult to find financing for your film in the past years than it was today?
You know, I mean, again, I feel like everyone's sort of forgetting the history of Fassbender and Pasolini, and, you know, and I think that, like, in a way, this is a very conservative period for cinema in general. And also there's a limited number of stories being told. So I think what's actually refreshing about this film, and unique, not unique would imply it stands alone, which it certainly doesn't, but I think it's a film about everyday life. And a lot of ways, television has taken the role for audiences as being where we look for stories of everyday life, and cinema has been this place where we expect to escape. And I feel like I'm still attached to a cinema of the ordinary. And, you know, I still think there's a place for films about family and relationships. And
well, maybe the difference with Pasolini and Fassbinder, it was that those films had that sense of forbidden and danger when your film doesn't.
I would agree, and I think that the overriding issue, that's very true, and I think that the issue is that as times have changed, what is dissipated for many of us, as for myself as a gay person, is the overpowering sense of shame, and shame as a kind of the ruling force of ourselves as people who had to hide, and I think that's changed. So the films have changed, or I made a film called The Delta, when I finished the film, and I basically thought I needed to stop watching Fassbender and pretending that I was from Germany, because I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, you know. It's like, so it's a little bit I think this film reflects a kind of very naturally who I am and how I see things, both as a filmmaker and also just as a person in the world.
Does this film have autobiographical aspects?
Everything. Yeah, I mean, I think my films are not autobiographical, but they do bring as much detail as I can from people I know and things I've seen and observed, and so all the characters are characters I know. And, you know, I would say Ben and George are as a couple really modeled after both. I had a great uncle who had a partner for 45 years, and the two of them together were people I saw grow old together, but also my mother and my stepfather, who've been together for all 41 years, and I see an imperfect beauty to a relationship in which there continues to be joy between them. And I think that's the thing. That's the thing you hope for. I saw this. I was visiting a friend here in Berlin, and who's been with his partner for 10 years, and I heard them laughing in the kitchen, and I thought, that's really such a nice sound, you know, hearing a couple who privately are laughing. And I think that's something we convey in this film.
I really love the Waverly Diner scene. Have you ever thought of using it as a closing scene for the film?
To me, the film is a film about life. It's not a film about death. It's a film about seasons and generations, and I think it's very important. There's a cyclical nature to the story, and a film about discovery. So it was always important for me for the film to sort of complete its circle in some ways, and I think that isn't that wouldn't have been that.
This film was also screened in Sundance as your previous films. Can you tell us how important is Sundance for an indie director?
How important is for an old filmmaker? Just as important. Sundance as a festival, and it's also important for people outside of the U.S. or even the U.S. to understand that there's also this thing which is Sundance as the institute, which supports and encourages and develops filmmakers at all stages of their life through many programs, which in a way are the closest thing we have to any sort of national support for filmmaking. We don't have the government doesn't give any money, so so I think Sundance is sort of takes that place in some ways. It really is, you know, it has so many different levels of meaning, and the festival is both a place to be noticed on an international stage. Actually, it's also, it is a market, as is Berlin, and I think that element is something that's very, that filmmakers know very well, is that you're coming to sell your shoes, really. So that there is this kind of very private experience that happens in this very public place where you reveal your films, which are very personal and kind of vulnerable, and you're also in the middle of the industry. So, you know, I think without these festivals, they exist to support the possibility of all of us to continue making movies. And I think that they are an infrastructure. Berlin is certainly. It's an infrastructure that makes it possible.
You said in the press conference for Love is Strange that you don't want your films to be considered as gay or not gay. Can you tell us more about it?
I think that your goals are to be good at what you do and to be a good storyteller and to understand people as well as you can and to convey that understanding through your work. So to me I try to understand people as completely as possible, both as individuals and within the context of their worlds. So that's just very general of who I am. That I don't do that because I'm a gay person. I do that because I'm an artist in some ways, or because I'm interested in telling stories. So on the other hand, I think there's reasons that you use these words like gay cinema. I mean, there's reasons that they're valuable. But I think in this case, I think what has been noticeable is that people respond to the film as some sort of reflection of themselves. If people connect to the film, they see something about their own experience in it.
Thank you, Ara Sachs, for being here with us on Fred P. Radio for his film Love is Strange, screening here at the 64th Berlinale in the Panorama section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from Berlin for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.